Stare at your partner in the eyes and your entire vibration will change. It's incredible. And a lot of times you can't even articulate yourself. You can't even use words. But just staring deeply into your partner's eyes immediately draws empathy.
This is the Medicine Podcast. I am Mimi, Mushroom Queen, AHCC educator, and culinary nutrition expert. I am quite obsessed with providing the unique knowledge for those that want to prevent disease in their body, in their mind, and in their relationships. If that's you, then you are in the exact right place, my love. Let's go take the medicine. Hello, lovers. I hope you're already having a bright and light-filled day, and I know that this episode of Under the Red Hat with my love, Chase, and I will bring even more light into your life today. This episode is probably my favorite of Under the Red Hat episodes so far because we were kind of experimenting with a new structure that I'm really, really excited about. I have been getting a ton of questions on Instagram from people who have heard a little bit about our crazy love story and the Grand Canyon of crap that we had to traverse to get to where we are today, which is more beautiful and fulfilling than I had ever prayed for in a relationship. So we've been getting a lot of questions from all sorts of people wanting to level up in their relationship too. I've had everything from people who just got married and are looking for general advice to people who are actually on the verge of divorce and they love each other, but they just feel so disconnected and wondering, how can we even come back from this? I'm telling you that you can. You can always come back. We are a living testament to that. We say this in the beginning of the episode, but Chase and I are not experts. We don't claim to be trained couples therapists, but we do have real world experience and knowledge in what it takes to resurrect a dead divorced relationship. And I know that's an extreme example because Chase and I were legally divorced about 4 years ago. And although some of the details of our story are painful to revisit, we wanted to start bringing you all more value and kind of speaking to some of the tools that we've used to resurrect our relationship. So that's what this episode is basically launching, us starting to address and answer specific questions that come from all of you. No matter where you're at in life or in your relationship, whether you are dating or newlyweds or been married for 5 years or 20, there is value in what we discuss today. The two questions that we address are really, really good ones. They are, how do you find time to connect when life is busy and you are both tired? And the other question is the number one piece of marriage or relationship advice, which we actually amended to an underrated piece of marriage advice, something that may be generally overlooked but has huge benefits. If you want to submit a question to us, it's super, super easy. You can go to my website, getmimifit.com, and go to the contact page, enter your question there. Or if you are on Instagram, you can just DM me at getmimifit and just send it straight to my inbox and I'll get that and add it to the list of questions that we address moving forward in these Under the Red Hat episodes. And please, if you are listening in Apple Podcasts, then take a quick second and leave us a review. Not only does it help other people find these disease-preventing tools and education, but it also lets us know how we're doing and what you guys love. We want to make sure that this is something that is bringing value to you, your life, and your relationships while still being authentic to us. And when you leave a review, you can just screenshot it, tag me on Instagram and at GetMimiFit, and I will enter you into my Friday drawing. My Friday drawing happens every week. It's ongoing, and I basically send you Organifi products or other mushroom products that I'm loving. So I draw one winner a week, and you can enter that way. The other way to enter is to, while you're listening to this episode, screenshot it and share it to your story and tag me. Make sure you tag me or else I probably won't see it. So yeah, you can enter two ways. Leave a review, take a screenshot, tag me, or take a screenshot of you listening and tag me and share it to your story. And remember, tag me. Did I say that? Okay, I will see you on the other side of this episode. Enjoy, boo. This episode of The Medicine is brought to you by Immune Intel AHCC, which is my own private label. If this is the first you're hearing about it, AHCC comes from the mycelium or root-like structure of shiitake mushroom. It is the most clinically researched functional food in the world with over 30 years of clinical research behind it. AHCC is really the main tool that I use to help people get out of suffering from things like HPV, autoimmune disorders, cancer, liver failure, skin disorders, fatigue, HIV, herpes, and much more. If you're thinking, how does one thing work for all of these issues? It's because AHCC delivers intelligence to your immune system. Then your body actually does the work of healing the disease. If you want to learn more about AHCC, and in my opinion, you should, you can go back and listen to episode number 3 of this podcast, where I dive deep and answer all of the major questions about AHCC. If you or someone you love needs AHCC, you can find it linked below in the show notes or on my website, getmimifit.com, in Mimi's store. This may just be the thing that you've been searching for. Cheers, boo. You're dope.
Thanks.
We're recording.
We are recording underneath the hat that is red.
Yes. What you got over there in your cup, my love?
My cup, of course, has coffee in it. And it's kind of a mystery coffee because my mom ground the beans last week and I don't quite know what beans they are, but they taste good. Thanks, Mom.
Could be a mix.
Staple on a Saturday morning is always getting Organifi, like a little Organifi chocolate gold in there. Gives it that mocha taste. Got maca powder. Have mushrooms, four different kinds of mushrooms, actually.
Mm. What kind of mushrooms?
Reishi. Or as you like to say, reishi, lion's mane, and cordyceps from our homies. Actually, like, we personally know them, the Real Mushrooms crew.
Yeah.
The Chiltons.
Yeah, the Chiltons.
And, man, these things are freaking awesome. Also have AHCC. Pulled the capsule off, drop a little powder in there. Got a nice, thick, chocolatey, mushroomy, earthy coffee going on.
It's like a coffee smoothie.
It's a coffee smoothie.
I love it.
It's crazy good.
So we're pretty much both hyped up on mushrooms right now.
Yeah. What about you? I know you have some of these as well.
Yeah.
Along with your coupon codes for all.
Yeah. 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 This morning I went pretty easy on the mushrooms. I only did about two doses of lion's mane just because I knew we were recording and wow. I want
2 grams.
Yeah.
Good for you.
I wanted just my brain just opened up, just, you know, like a platter for you to like play in.
I love brain platters. How'd you know?
So I have lion's mane in there from our friends at Real Mushrooms. And then a little splash of Organifi chocolate gold and then my Reishi Spore King coffee. Mm. So I went pretty easy, but it is just pure and delicious. And, yeah, if you guys want to save on any Real Mushrooms, you can find the links in the show notes or, find it in my link tree, or go to realmushrooms.com and use the code MIMI, M-I-M-I, for 10% off. and Reishi King Coffee, also in my link tree, also linked below. And then Organifi Gold, you get 15% off with the code MIMIFIT, MIMIFIT, if you want to level up your coffee. Coffee is really the easiest way, in my opinion, to get mushrooms in.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to, they do have them available in capsules, like on Real Mushrooms website, but I don't really want to swallow like 8 capsules or more a day. I'd rather toss it in a blender and just blend it into my coffee and make it delicious.
It's fun. It becomes a ritual, something you look forward to. You can dress it up in any way, shape, or form, depending on what you want to taste. I have a million reasons I don't particularly like capsules. I mean, I still take a lot of capsules, but one of them is the digestion process starts literally when food or liquid touches your lips, tongue, mouth.
Mm-hmm.
And when you take a capsule, it takes a little while to break that down.
Mm-hmm.
There is less efficacy in any capsule, regardless of mm-hmm. what you're taking, than it would be in the whole food form or the powder form that you can literally just put in your mouth as soon as possible. That digestion process starts immediately.
Yeah.
That's why if I have the time, I'm always, even if it's a capsule, I'm unscrewing it, dropping the powder in there. Even if it tastes a little weird, you put it in coffee, put some Organifi Chocolate Gold in there. There's things like a mocha. It's awesome.
What, I'm sure you get asked this, I know I do, but what like to go to mushrooms? If somebody's like, I've never used mushrooms in my coffee, what two would you recommend?
Lion's Mane for sure. That is probably my favorite. And I think like you mentioned, it's so much of the cognitive benefit. There's also a underrated, doesn't get talked about enough, lion's mane digestion benefit. Mm. It's good for your mm-hmm. gut. And then cordyceps also.
You like
for someone
cordyceps.
Who likes exercise,
yeah.
it's the most noticeable, like natural pre-workout for me.
Mm-hmm.
I think you talk about it a lot, what it's like. You take cordyceps, it's not like a jolt like you would with caffeine or any sort of other pre-workout, but you find yourself having really sustainable energy that feels natural. It kind of feels like if you've ever woken up from like the perfect night's sleep and you wake up and you're like, oh my God, I just feel like I could move and exercise. That's kind of what cordyceps feels like when you get it in your body and you get it in a rhythm. And
mm-hmm.
the best thing about mushrooms too is that it doesn't really hurt to overdo it. I mean,
you can't really.
Yeah.
It's just, you just maybe have a little bit more of an expensive coffee,
sure.
but it's not going to hurt you
yeah.
in
and,
any
and
way.
And maybe if you have a sensitive stomach, if you take like 3 times or 4 times the amount that you should, it might bother your stomach. But
yeah, I think
I've honestly never noticed it. And I was taking, back in September, I did a month of 8 different mushrooms a day,
mm-hmm.
all of them at a gram. So
yeah.
I was getting 8 grams of mushroom variations.
And you felt great.
I felt great. I had crazy dreams, but I felt really great. And none of them were psychedelic.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
yeah.
Anyway,
I love that. Yeah. Cordyceps and lion's mane. Great place to start. I would say my two favorite mushrooms, for people to start for just a different answer than yours. Lion's mane is definitely, I would say that for sure. That's probably the one I used the most, next to AHCC. So I would say, aside from lion's mane, I would do, especially for women, a stack of AHCC and Reishi. Reishi has the longest list of benefits of any mushroom and balances hormones. It balances your mental and mood. A lot of people only think of lion's mane when they think of cognitive function and mental state and mental disorders, but Reishi actually has a lot of benefits there too. So she is the queen. She is the mushroom of immortality and the bridge to heaven and earth. So, but she is a little bit more bitter. So it's like I think it pairs well with coffee, but so I would say my two go-tos, Immune Intel AHCC and Reishi for women. And then, AHCC is just going to level up every part of your immune system just to help you battle anything and everything.
Yeah, I know. I should mention AHCC too. It's because it's not from the fruiting body of the mushroom like some of the other extracts we're using. It's just on the next level from the mycelium. And it's from shiitake. Otherwise, I would have said shiitake. But yeah. It's almost like in a category on its own.
Right.
So, of course, that's a priority. Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. We could make the whole episode talking about these mushrooms. But we do have a little bit more of a structure today, which I'm actually really excited about. Usually we just get on here and we riff. We have fun questions to bring to each other, something we've been contemplating over the last couple days that we're excited to chat about. Or it's just organic, which has been really fun. But I've actually been getting quite a few questions on Instagram from you guys, just wanting to learn more about our relationship and how we function and our dynamic, and actually like really personal questions and stories. I'm just blown away. And I want to recognize if you have sent me a question or shared part of your life or your relationship story with me, that takes guts to kind of show your hand and show your cards and say like, hey, we don't have it all figured out. And, or we're in a really bad place. Like, what should we do? That takes a lot of guts to like reach out to someone that you don't really know on Instagram. And I just want to recognize and honor you guys that are trying to do better and look for maybe some alternative sources. So what we want to do today is, take two questions from these questions that came at me on Instagram. And the first question is a really good one. I think it's something that we all deal with if you're human and you're in a relationship. And that is, how do you find ways to connect when life gets busy and you are tired? I'm going to sling this one to you first, my love, and then I'll follow up.
It's such a good question. And before I get into my own thoughts, we were married and we fucked it up. So if you're listening and listening to what we have to say, keep in mind that like we've been through the worst of it.
Mm-hmm.
And even now it's not a, you know, we've been back together less than a year and it's not like we're experts. I'm not an expert by any means, but what I'm trying to say is that there's like light at the end of the tunnel,
mm-hmm.
and that we are experiencing the light and have been for like a year. So although we don't have 40 years of relationship experience in the light, we are seeing it and we're feeling it every day. And so all this is just lifting the veil into what feels really, really awesome for us right mm-hmm. now. And hopefully that can kind of steer people in the right direction, I guess. But I just want to put out there that I'm not a relationships yeah. expert. All I'm literally doing is saying, hey, I feel some freaking relationship sunshine on my back and my face every single day. And here's some of the things that like put it all on, you know, right. it feels incredible, drastically different from how it felt
mm-hmm.
in three years of marriage.
Yeah. yeah. And if this is your first time listening to us together under the red hat, he said it there, but, Chase and I were childhood sweethearts together for 10 years. Three of those years we were married, and then we actually legally separated and divorced, and we were apart for 3 years. And then through divine intervention and just the stars aligning, we were reunited, and now here we are about a year later. And so I think we have a unique perspective because it's not us jumping into a different relationship. It's us jumping into, well, it is a different relationship, but it's the same people, obviously. But now we have hindsight in our relationship with what didn't work, rather than bringing the same problems into a different relationship with different people. We really have a kind of like before and after. So we call it part one and part two. So if you hear us say, oh, in part one, that's what we're talking about, is when we were together and married. And then we call this part two that we're in now. So little disclaimer there if this is your first time listening.
Yeah. And so to get to the question, or to answer the question, for me, anything that is critically important to me, and this was prior to us being back together in part two even, I took a real pivot or change in my life by prioritizing what was most important to me.
Mm-hmm.
And it starts with just an analysis of like what you have going on in your life and what is a priority or what is important, and then making it a priority. So for me, it was like, okay, I'm working way too much. My health is in the tank. What are priorities for me? It was getting my health right. It was getting some level of spirituality, some level of connection to a higher power. And when you identify those things that are priority, like that are important to you, you have to make them priorities, like period. Mm-hmm. For me, the way that it works is like morning is my time. That's when I'm the most efficient, effective, and whatever I'm doing. So instead of taking that space to what I would have previously done is immediately work, or put something that's more of a pressure on myself, in my life, I flipped it on its head and put my morning time for health, fitness, and
meditation.
Yeah. Connection with God or spirituality. And it was such an easy, protocol to implement relationship when we like re-engaged and this part two. So that muscle was already built of analyzing what was most important to me in my life. And when you came back into my life, that was apparent, like this is the most important thing. We had at length, even before we decided to get back together,
mm-hmm.
talked about this has to be a priority. This has to be a priority. This is so critically important to us.
Yeah.
It has to be a priority. And although it wasn't like, oh, let's sit down and get a calendar out and circle the dates and times when we're going to prioritize our intimacy and our relationship, we have built, and it's kind of evolved over the last, 8 to 10 months, a really cool routine, ritual, prioritization of our relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And some of those pieces, just like it has been with fitness, where I get my exercise in the morning and make sure that it's done because it is a priority. I fill up my own cup before I can be expected to give anything else to anybody else. We've done that with our relationship. That's some of the things that I think of now, and there's even more, but we have Monday morning walks together where we talk about what you're reading and what I'm thinking. We set Thursdays, we call them Thursdates, and I block 2 hours out of every Thursday. I have a crazy work schedule, crazy. I'm nonstop working, but those 2 hours on Thursday, untouchable, period.
Mm-hmm.
We at times like our sexual intimacy, it's gotta be scheduled sometimes. Like life gets crazy. And mm-hmm. so you block it out like, hey.
Yeah. And I think there's
Monday morning, Thursday morning.
Yeah.
It's gotta happen.
Yeah.
And then the other thing, and then I'll stop and let you chime in is building and scheduling buckets of time for, call it play, call it whatever you want, call it let's just feel it out, let's get creative. Don't have a schedule. Schedule times not to have a schedule.
Mm-hmm.
So schedule Saturdays, like hey, this is sacred to us, and we're mm-hmm. running thin on work and social activities and obligations. Saturday is no plans until we get there. Then we'll just feel it out. We'll see what happens. Maybe we want to go to the beach. Maybe we actually want to meet up with other people. Maybe we
want
to have sex. Whatever it is, prioritizing that time to just
mm-hmm.
play it out.
Yeah. I have so many thoughts.
Yes, jump in.
Well, my first thought is when you mentioned scheduling intimacy. And we do that because there is this societal, cultural, I think, norm or idea that intimacy and sex always has to be spontaneous for it to be fun and enjoyable. And I think that is extremely hard to uphold and follow through on every single time. And the chances that both people are thinking the same thing at the same time and are in the mood, ready to go, and they both like, oh yeah, oh, you're thinking that, you, oh, you're thinking that too? Cool, yeah, me too. Like, that doesn't, when your lives get busy, especially when kids come into the picture, I'm sure, we don't have kids, but I'm sure when kids come into the picture, that spontaneity, if that's what you are expecting, is that it always has to be spontaneous, that you're setting yourself up for disappointment. And if that's your expectation, it's going to feel off. However, if you have a conversation with your partner and you say, I think step one is in this whole picture of making time for each other is having the conversation.
Yeah, for sure.
You have to sit down and be like, hey, you know what? It seems like obviously we've got a lot of things going on, really busy. And in a loving way, say, I will speak as a feminine, because if I were to approach you, this is how I would approach it. And I'm going to guess that most of the time it's the woman approaching the man. Maybe she's feeling disconnected and she wants to like spend more time together. That's the scenario that I'm setting. So I would approach you when it's a good time. Maybe when we're just sitting here in coffee and you're not just come home from a, you have not just come home from a stressful day and you're in flight or fight. And I can tell you're tense. That's not the time to bring up anything of importance. The time to fix the roof is when the sun is shining. Mm-hmm. So I would bring it up when we're on a walk on the beach, or when we're sitting, maybe just like a chill dinner on the weekends, maybe, or when we're sitting here, coffee in the morning, and you're at ease and you are just relaxed. Mm-hmm. And I would just approach it like, hey, you know, I just feel like we've been both like super busy, and that's great. I love how hard you're working, and I know you got a lot on your plate, and I do too. I have so many things running through my mind, but the most important thing to me is our relationship and my connection with you. That's number one. And I feel like we've just kind of gotten busy, and I want to like find a way to make some time to just reconnect with you, and kind of maybe prioritize or maybe set something up in our schedule that we have something locked in every week. Maybe it's every weekend, or we plan Saturday or Sunday mornings to go on a walk.
Yeah.
And then I would throw it over to you to ask, like, you know, what are you feeling? And do you have any, what would you want to do together? And that's how, just having the conversation first, I think, is important.
Totally.
And presenting it in the right way, not when he just walks in the door from having a stressful day saying like, you're never here, we never connect.
Yep.
I hate this. Because that feels like, that, I'm sure, to a masculine, it feels like she's unhappy. I can't make her happy. She doesn't like this life. Our relationship is in the tank.
Yeah. You know, I was actually reminded when you were talking about, even before we started, part two, before you came down and visited me for the first time, in, you know, first time we'd seen each other in 3 years, really, on a romantic level, we had a shared, like, we had a shared iPhone note,
mm-hmm.
of the things we needed to talk about and the things that we needed to come to some level of agreement upon prior to entering into part two. And it started out with literally one morning on a Saturday morning when you first visited. We had like 5 hours of conversation, all surrounding various containers for conversation topics. Like, this is what I'm going to need to have if this is going to work. This is the container. Hear me out. What are your thoughts? What tentative agreement can we come to based on this topic, whatever it is? What are priorities? What are things that we are going to agree upon, such that when you find yourself in the fight or flight, when dude guy comes home and he's just had a brutal day, or you wake up in the morning and you just feel like shit or whatever it is, you have set the container, you've set the protocol or the agreement in a sober state of mind that you can easily identify, okay, Is this where we need to follow the protocol that we agreed to? Is this, okay, it is. Okay, let's sit down. Let's set the container again. This is a safe space. I'm going to hear you out. You're going to hear me out, whatever it is. But it was, we didn't even like necessarily intentionally do that as some like strategy or some book we read.
Mm-mm.
We just kind of came to it naturally where we set some containers, some
yeah.
kind of boundaries and some protocols. And then we made agreements to those
yeah.
at the onset of this part two.
And we made it very clear to each other that this isn't like a trial run. This isn't like, yeah, I'll come down and visit and see how things go and see how we like each other and see how just kind of like feel it out.
Yeah.
Like, I know we have a unique situation, but anyone who's in a relationship, if you love that person, or maybe you've become disconnected or fallen out of love, and that's what it feels like, but maybe you're married and you're in it, you chose that person.
Yeah.
You chose that person because at one point in your life, when everything felt like it was figured out, you loved that person more than anything.
Yeah.
And so I think channeling in yourself, you know, and realizing like, yeah, he or she is the most important thing to me. And realizing that first and then wanting to make the person a priority,
yeah.
I think is huge. And so you talked about our Thursdates, which are great. I love that you make time in your schedule. It makes me, not only are we getting time together, but it's reinforcing the fact that I am important to you. And that's huge, obviously, in relationship. It's making sure that your partner knows every day you are important to me. And I think that kind of gets lost when we just get into that day-to-day routine. So finding little ways to show that person you are important. And
yeah.
maybe there's a week where you don't have, maybe just the way that the schedule turns out, there's non-negotiables that, you know, maybe for your company or a dinner or family comes into town. You can't always control external.
Right.
But what you can control is, you know, your time when you are together, or thinking of creative ways like,
yeah.
You know, leaving him a note in his briefcase or in his car, or just little things to make that person feel important. They're little things, but you can actually feel more connected through those little things if other external things are building
yeah.
up.
Yeah, it's everybody says, fill up your own cup before you can be expected to give to others, or whatever that saying is. But in a relationship, it's the same way. Fill up your relationship cup.
Yes.
And it doesn't have to be the same every time. Like Thursdates, for instance, it's a couple hours. Sometimes it's fun and goofy and we're joking around and we're laughing the whole time. Sometimes we're talking like work. We're talking like, oh my God, we're doing this podcast thing. Holy shit. This is, people are listening. This is incredible. and then other times it's like it's a check-in.
Yeah.
Which I can't remember if we've talked or you've talked about check-ins at all, but it's an exercise or a container for just evaluating the current state of
mm-hmm.
the relationship in a really natural, not like weird,
yeah.
weird way. But it can, so those times, those time allotments that you give your relationship can be just whatever they want to be, but just save the space, prioritize the time
mm-hmm.
for the relationship.
Yeah. Yeah. I think there's so much to this question too, because even if there is a recognition from one person that like, hey, we're not spending enough time together. You've said this before where you almost feel like roommates, or you almost feel like you're living two separate lives in the same house.
Yeah.
And that's a really, really kind of awful place to be. When you've chosen this person, you've chosen to live your life and be connected to this person,
mm-hmm.
than actually choosing to be connected to, but not be connected and to
yeah.
live separate lives. That's a really awful place to be.
It is.
We've both been there and it's not fun.
It's a trap too.
Yeah.
It is a trap. It's like two tunnels in a cave that are a foot away from each other, but you have no idea that you're a foot away. You
yeah.
know, you're literally separated by like a rock wall, and you're just continuing to tunnel with that person physically, proximity,
mm-hmm.
mm-hmm. like arm's reach with you in your own home.
Yeah.
And you have zero connection with them.
Yeah.
It's insane. Like when we were married, oh my God. But like, okay, I'm on the road all week, and then the weekend still feels like I'm on the road because we're not connected at all.
Yeah. Yeah. We've been to the like rock bottom is what we're trying to say yeah. in this area. And I mean, I will never go back there.
Yeah. Supernatural transition, I think, to the next like question. And I can't remember what it's called, like, but it's something along the lines of like relationship/intimacy hacks. Like, hey, how can you get there?
Yeah. It was, what's your number one, piece of relationship or marriage advice? And then we amended it to, instead of just number one, what's maybe an underrated piece of marriage or relationship advice?
But first, a word from our sponsors, aka I gotta go to the bathroom.
Okay. Hello. If you've ever dealt with persistent, frustrating, tear-inducing acne like I have, then listen up, my friend. Don't push fast forward because I have some acne insight for you. These are tips that you may not have heard before. First is that you should be washing your face with lukewarm water, the temperature that you would bathe a baby in. When you use really hot water to wash your face, you're essentially burning your skin and creating DNA and oxidative damage, making you look older and have deeper wrinkles. Second is the best anti-acne diet is no sugar and no dairy. I know, both those things are fun, but cut them out and you could see your skin really change very quickly. Third is that if you're taking biotin supplements, this could be gasoline on the acne fire because of what's called retention hyperkeratinosis. This is a big word for excess proteins building up in your pores, which is actually what makes all acne possible. I was taking biotin supplements thinking that it was healthy for my skin, but now I know it was really just fueling the fire. So lay off the biotin and see if that helps. You guys, I've been through the ringer for 3 years now trying to heal my active breakouts and then trying to heal my acne scars. The skincare line I use now, which has helped my acne scars just melt off my face, is ClearStem Skincare. They are anti-acne and anti-aging with zero hormone disruptors. I personally use the Vitamin Scrub, Clarity Serum, and the Cell Renew Serum. And my face just is loving it. Ugh, I get compliments on my skin all the time now, which feels so good after this 3 year battle. ClearStem is super intentional and transparent. They have all their ingredients listed on their website, as well as a pore clogging list that you can cross-reference with your makeup and hair products to see if there's something that you're missing. Then, they also have a personalized quiz that helps you get to the bottom of what may be causing your acne, because I know this, it can be really difficult to figure it out on your own. It definitely was for me. So, go to clearstemskincare.com and use the code MIMIFIT, MIMIFIT, when you check out to get your hefty discount. I know you're going to love this stuff. Cheers, boo. Okay, before we go on to the next question, while I was in the potty, I thought of one more thing that I want to say about prioritizing time with each other. What that means, just so I can spell it out for people, is everyone knows, like, okay, you got to prioritize your relationship. Yes, we all know that. Just like we all know you're supposed to eat vegetables, but do we all do it? No. What that means is you need to say no to other things. Say no to, on the weekend, going out with buddies or friends. Say no to your girls every weekend brunch or whatever. Maybe you stay home from Bible study, God forbid, to connect with your partner. Maybe.
Or like football games. Right. On Sunday or Saturday.
Yes.
It's tough, but.
It is.
And even if you're doing stuff together.
Yeah.
Even if it's both of you going over to watch the game, mm-hmm. or yeah. whatever it is.
Because you can, yeah, you can go over to a buddy's house and like, oh, what do you mean? We were at Todd's house and we were watching the game together. And she might be like, you didn't say two words to me the entire time. You're there together, but you're not connected. So there's a difference. There's a difference between doing things together and doing things connected. So one thing, I'm going to say two things. Start saying no to other things and then do something new.
Yeah.
Go on a walk together. Go for a day trip, like a cool city nearby, and find a farmer's market. Do something you've never done so that you get out of your routine. You get out of those little ruts that we get into. So maybe it's not church. Maybe you, I'm not telling you don't go to church, but maybe on Sundays, if that's your only time to be together, but you don't really connect, maybe you go for a drive and do a little like day trip somewhere.
Yeah.
Do something different.
Yeah. People say date nights all the time too, which I think is great, but it doesn't have to be like, oh, we go out to dinner and a movie or whatever it is. It can be whatever date you want, I guess. For us, it's Thursdays. It's going to coffee versus going out in the evening. I'm not going to throw you into this, but I fall asleep.
You also get up at 4, so you're good. Yeah, I hope there's some good tangible pieces of advice in there. Prioritize, talk it out with your partner, do something different, and start saying no to external things.
Yeah, let us know what you try.
Yeah,
what shakes out, what's successful, what's not, or if you have practices out there that you would implement too. We'd love to try them. If we haven't done anything like that before, it'd be awesome.
Totally. Reach out. Any of these talking points that we talk about, I would love to hear from you guys. You can send me a DM or Chase a DM if you're a dude listening to this. Best place is probably Instagram. I am at GetMimiFit, and Chase is at the Chasen one. Okay, so we're going to move on to the next question, which is the number one underrated piece of marriage or relationship advice. Do you want to go first again?
Go,
you
want me go to, ahead. Take
you
it
want
away.
Me to? Okay. So we all know, I feel like the reason why we're doing underrated is because we all know the top five that every therapist, relationship expert is probably going to say.
The top five, like, relationship
pieces of advice.
Yeah. And they're super broad and like not tangible. And
yeah. So we were thinking, okay, what's something that, you know, people might not necessarily think of that make a huge impact in relationships? So mine, I thought of it like within 3 seconds of hearing this question. And it's something that I think that we've really worked on well in part two. And that is finding forms of play together. And what I mean by play is we go through our, you know, careers, jobs, the things that we have to do, the work, the chores, the, you know, if you have kids, like stuff with your kids, just getting them off to school, all the things that you have to do just as an adult to function and be responsible. Finding things outside of that to do with your partner that induce things like laughing, telling jokes, smiling, touching each other, connecting, like tickling, hugging, playing around, dancing, being weird, being goofy, or even like if you guys both love basketball, finding a gym and like, hey, let's just go shoot around, or finding a playground and like, let's go shoot around. And we lose this sense of, sorry, there's
just
a siren.
Just another Coronado siren.
We get a lot of sirens because there's a lot of elderly folks on Coronado Island that I think have cardiac.
They slip on the ice.
Ice. Yeah. So I think as we age and become responsible adults, this concept of play, I think, goes out the window that maybe we have when we're dating. And then it kind of just fizzles out.
Yeah.
But it is so important And again, this is one of those things that in part one, we didn't really have down. We had little things like around Christmas. That was play for us. So we loved Christmas because we were both Christmas freaks and we got weird about it. And we just, it was something to connect on.
It was Christmas. It was, you
know,
Harry Potter. It was like little getaways or vacations and stuff. But and those are all great things. They're so great. But the problem is with that is you're always looking forward to something else and you're not in the present moment.
Yeah.
The secret, everybody, is that you can turn whatever it is, your kitchen, your bedroom, your backyard, your neighborhood, a coffee location, you can turn it into your playground. Mm-hmm. It can be fun. And today can be fun. It doesn't have to be a holiday.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a matter of breaking down whatever. I think one of the challenges for us was we had just walls built up. And it was awkward and weird to try to like in the moment be like, oh, let's just break down all this like build up that we have and just play.
Mm-hmm.
It got challenging.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why things like, oddly enough, a holiday like Christmas, it's okay just to set the shit down for a second and enjoy Christmas. And then you find yourself connecting and playing, but the secret is you can do that every day.
Yeah. And so some kind of everyday things that can be considered play, you know, for us, I think a huge one is making dinner together.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, it's like both of our, I think I won't speak for you, but like one of my favorite times of the day is making dinner with you.
Yeah.
And it's a necessity. Like for us, we eat in almost 99.9% of meals just because that's what we've chosen for our health. And we enjoy it so much. And so it has to be done. It has to get done. And so we've turned it into something that, you know, we have music playing. We've already talked about what we're making, you know, earlier on in the day. Mm-hmm. It's not a like, oh, we're home at 5:30, both of us. What are we going to do for dinner? I don't know. Let's just get takeout. There's no play in that. Unless it's something that's something that you never do, then it's like, you know what? This would be really fun. Let's go down
to... That's like spontaneous.
Yeah, that totally. Yeah. But if it's a flustered thing, that's not play. So we have our little dance in the kitchen, you know,
what are some of the things that like indicate play? I'm trying to think just out loud.
Yeah.
I think like you said, like that anticipation to look forward to it.
Mm-hmm.
We were talking about this earlier and we mentioned like building a sandcastle. And like building a sandcastle together, whatever play looks like, you're both contributing in some way,
mm-hmm.
and you are owning your own piece of the ultimate like creation or whatever it is.
In this case, a meal. Yeah. 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 Well, I mean, anything that induces you like laughter and like chances to like touch each other.
Mm-hmm.
This can be a really, I would say, you know, I've gotten questions from people that are just like, hey, we're on the like edge of divorce and we feel so disconnected. This is a very like benign thing. Like, hey, let's make dinner together. And then you find yourself like even subtly like, you know, reaching around each other or touching his shoulder or, mm-hmm. you know, you're just in closer in proximity. You're talking about your day and it's not like interview style across the kitchen table and you're making jokes and listening to music and maybe, you know, it's
an interesting element that I haven't thought about is there has to be some level of like intensity to it. And it doesn't have to be like life or death, but you know, when you're cooking something, I'm thinking the sandcastle example, or you're cooking something, or maybe you are setting up the Christmas tree together, you're decorating, or you're building a little project. You want the creation or whatever you're playing with to end well.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't, but you don't want it to be too intense, right? But there's an element to like, oh fuck, I just burned the French fries or whatever it is. That is intense in the moment, but then you can kind of look at the other person and realize like, this isn't really that important, but it's kind of funny that I'm that dialed into it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, damn it. The garland that I'm decorating this house with that I pinned 90 things up just fell down.
Yeah.
Or I used way too dry of sand and the whole thing crumbled.
Or, when Chase makes his incredible, like, fit for a king omelets. Like, oh crap, the omelet just broke in half. And it's like this really intense yeah. moment, but it's also yeah. like, okay, we're making
like,
omelets.
Quickly get the cheese so I can like glue. Bandage this thing together.
Anyways, that was a side note. But yeah, I totally agree with you that it creates these little things that you can like kind of laugh about yeah. and just kind of smile and joke about. I think that's a really benign thing and normal. If you just go to your guy or go to your girl and be like, hey, you want to go play some beach volleyball? I want to play.
Yeah.
That might not be feasible or real or feel organic or authentic to you guys. Find what works for you.
Yeah.
And I would say that this is like part of our larger, what we call our intimacy recipe. We're going to trademark that, by the way, sometime. Mm-hmm. It's already trademarked, so don't try. but an intimacy recipe, similar to like when you get a recipe online or whatever for food or for a meal, and you're like, you're looking at some of the ingredients and you're like, I'm not going to use heavy whipping cream. I'm going to use coconut cream. I'm not going to use white table sugar. I'm going to use monk fruit. I'm not going to use white flour. I'm going to use coconut flour. Whatever. You're making your own substitutions for what works for you and yeah. your body, your situation. Same thing in relationship. If you hear of like an idea, even something that we're giving you, and you're like, yeah, that sounds like a really good idea, but for us it makes sense in this way. You're building your own intimacy yeah. recipe, and that is crucial for sustainability. It has to feel like your own. Not that somebody else gave you a template and said, here, do this, bullet point, all right. the things.
It's not about getting hung up on the external. For example, our kitchen time and what we make for meals. It's focusing on what's behind that. For us, we've talked about excitement and anticipation. We've talked about like just the flow state of it. You kind of lose when you're in the middle of it. You lose track of time. You maybe lose track of like other things in your life, like what's coming up this week for work or what your friends are doing, whatever it is. You're really focused on the task and the other person at hand. There's some level of like intensity, but not too much. And I think something that's really important is upon completion or upon the end is a feeling of satisfaction, a feeling of reward, satiation, mm-hmm. and then kind of relishing or talking mm-hmm. about it later, like,
yes,
that was really fun.
Yes,
that was really cool. And then walking back through the experience together and just almost like anchoring those feelings by talking about them later and saying, that was really awesome.
Yes, I will echo that from a female perspective. If you are a female, open your ears even wider. If you do something with your man, or he says yes to something that you want to do, or whatever the thing is that you just loved and you want to do more of, tell him right away. Tell him immediately. Give him immediate and significant feedback, you know, upon completion or when you're just sitting there or you after the walk or after the thing or after the event or after you made dinner together. Tell him, look him in his eyes and say, I loved that we just did that together. That was so fun for me. And thank him
for sure.
Thanks for making dinner with me. That was so mm-hmm. fun. I just loved it. And let him see like, wow, man, she really loved that.
Yeah.
He'll want to do it more.
Totally.
Would you agree? And it's not a manipulation thing.
No.
It's just a communication. I think sometimes we think that well, he should know that I like it. We were having fun the whole time. Tell him.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. Mm. All right.
So good.
On to you. So we got play. People are going to find play. What's your number one or just an underrated piece of relationship advice?
I kind of took this as just a hack out there. I love hacks for anything, but this is so simple and it's a little weird, but just try it on. There is something magical about staring into the eyes of your partner. And it doesn't even have to be in a romantic setting, I guess. This can be with your friends or loved ones too, but something about staring at your partner in the eyes liquidates everything that is potentially interfering with your connection. That could be the walls that you build up, like we were talking about earlier. It can be your own self-love issues, like maybe you don't feel beautiful, or you haven't felt attractive, or you don't feel respected, whatever it is. Stare at your partner in the eyes, and your entire vibration will change. It's incredible. And a lot of times you can't even articulate yourself. You can't even use words. But just staring deeply into your partner's eyes immediately draws empathy. And it draws, it's kind of like if you've ever stared up at the stars, like a beautiful starry night sky, or you're on the top of a mountain and you're staring out at nature or staring out at the ocean. And it's almost overwhelming about how massive everything is, and it's humbling, actually. And you get that feeling of, I'm unimportant in this grand scheme of things. But it's a good feeling. It's not a, oh my God, I'm so unimportant. It's, you know what? This thing's fucking huge. Mm-hmm. And I'm just a little part of it. And that's okay.
Yeah.
When you stare into your partner's eyes, you're like, damn, we got so many things going on. My attention is on all this other stuff, but it should just be right here. Mm-hmm. And
it's presence.
Yeah. And if you're really with someone who is your puzzle piece, this can be in friendship. It can be in a relationship. I think it's magnified and it's heightened in a romantic relationship when you've made a spiritual and a sacred like connection to somebody. When you stare at them in the eyes, that frequency and that channel just amplifies. Mm-hmm. My entire body changes, and I'm not even thinking about it. It's not sexual. It's not energy. It's literally just the way that my body is feeling and the frequency with which I just exude. Is that a word? Exude. Mm-hmm. Changes, and it feels incredible. And then it's like, I don't know what we were doing before this, and I don't know what we're going to be doing after this, but right now,
yeah,
we are on our exclusive channel.
Yeah. It's presence. Yeah. It's really hard to be thinking about all of the other things when you're focused on your partner's eyes.
Yeah.
And it sounds really like, okay, woo-woo, hippie, whatever. Just try it.
Just do it.
Just do it. There's no... And really, like, I mean, it's not easy for everyone. Like,
no.
Notice this when you're just talking to someone, just a friend or just a coworker or whatever. If you're like, I'm going to notice more, like, eye gazing or just, like, eye contact, a lot of people have a hard time with it. Think about... You could probably go a week getting into the, you know, the busy flow of life and the responsibilities and kids and this and that. And you could probably think to yourself, I actually haven't looked and stared at my partner's face and eyes all week.
Yep.
I don't think that's like irrational, like, yep, to happen. I think that's probably pretty common.
Yep.
And man, when you're locked in, when we're locked in on each other, like, yeah, there's nothing else.
In a world where everything is posturing, where everything is masked, everything is disguised, you can put shit on your face, you can put color in your hair, makeup. You can get your body to look a particular way, you can dress clothes everywhere, but you know what you can't do?
Yeah.
You can't touch your eyes. So if you want truth, and for someone like myself, I'm constantly evaluating. I'm a skeptic by nature. I'm constantly evaluating whether someone is full of shit or not. Even though it's a challenge, it's a burden, because I'm constantly analyzing and have a skeptical view on everything. And so I've built a practice of looking at people in the eye because I know that eyes don't lie. And you can stare into someone's soul. And in a romantic setting, you can, damn, I tell you, like, if you are just needing to realign and re-anchor and recenter with your partner, or just even get a sense of where things are at, stare at them in the eyes. Mm-hmm. It might elicit, like, there's not depth there right now. It might be like,
one of you might start crying.
Yeah. It might be like, yep, she's still there. Okay. I'm going to put this stuff away, put this stuff down. I'm going to stay in this thing because I looked at her in the eyes and I saw that soul that I know that I'm in love with. And so this is worth it. We're in this thing. Yeah. We're going to be in this thing. Let's work on the other shit. But damn, you're still there. I know it. I can see it in your eyes.
That's really where our part two, like, kicked off was we were in Anaheim like almost a year ago in early March. And after we were talking in the car for a long time about things that we had never talked about, excuse me. We got out of the car and we were like saying goodbye or whatever. And we were not back together at this point. And he grabbed my face like firmly but lightly and just stared at my eyes, into my eyes for probably a good like 20 seconds, which is a long time to stare at someone. Mm-hmm. And I know that you were looking for me.
Yeah.
And trying to understand, like, is this real? Is what I'm feeling real? And I had never, including you, I had never had any person look at me like that. And it was like a nutrient that I had been waiting for 29 years.
Yeah, it was me. And it's not this thing that I'd like planned, and like every woman that I come across, I stare at them in the eyes. I had no idea. And it was absolute flow state. And I just grabbed your face and I was searching and, and we'll tell the story in another, set and setting for sure. But for me, I had written Megan, the Megan that I was in love with and had, you know, stood at the altar and promised my soul to, I had written that human being off as dead and I had mourned her death. And that was literally the only way that I could kind of get through the breakup and the pain was that. The person that I love, this is not the person that I love, and the person that I love died. And that was literally how I was able to kind of get over it to some degree. And when I'd been getting indications, we'd very briefly reconnected over coffee in our hometown of Spokane, and we had now seen each other for the second time in 3 years, again, briefly, but I'd gotten these little indications like, she might be there. And so, yeah, I grabbed your face and I stared into your eyes and saw you. Mm-hmm. And I saw you brighter than I'd ever seen you in my entire life. And like I was talking about earlier, my entire body changed. I felt a frequency and an energy throughout my entire body that it was almost brand new or felt brand new. And I was like, yep, she's there.
Yeah. And then I felt the same, and I started crying because I was, it was overwhelming, like in the best way. And then he kissed me, and it was the best kiss I've ever had in my life.
To be continued, everybody.
I think those are both questions that every person can benefit from, every couple. And even if you're single and you're just kind of like scoping things out, like be sure of what you want in a partner and what you need and the level of depth that you need. And I think, those two things go right along with like knowing, okay, this is what I'm looking for and this is what I need. And if you can start out approaching these things, as you're dating or whatever, like you're going to save yourself some time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
for sure.
All right. Well, last question that we always ask each other. What is the medicine for you today, my love?
Medicine for me today, it is blue skies and sunny. And right after this, I'm going to go walk down to the beach, take some rubber bands and some mobility equipment, and I'm going to move my body, move my sore groin from a new leg workout this week, get my body moving, get connected to the ground, and start this weekend off right.
Can I come too?
Yes, you are invited.
Thank you.
What is the medicine for you?
Honestly, the medicine was this. You and me under the red hat. And we both have been looking forward to jumping back on here. We've had some family in town, and so it's been hard to record. And I've missed it. And it's a form of play for us. And, I mean, honestly, we're just talking about gazing at each other's eyes. But for 55 minutes now, I've been staring at your beautiful blue eyes, and it's play and connection, and I love it. So it was medicinal for me today.
Medicinal podcasts, everybody.
Think about, for you listening, what is the medicine for you today, and ask your partner. Maybe you don't have to phrase it in that way if they don't listen to this podcast. You could send it to them, but start asking more questions. Yeah. For your partner. And if you don't feel connected to your partner, start wondering more about them. Don't be necessarily upset that they're not asking about you. Start asking them more about their day, about what's in their head, about, you know, just things that they're wondering about, or, you know, come up with a funny question. Start wondering and wanting to learn more about your loved ones. Yeah. And you will start to see your relationships change for sure.
Yeah, that's the medicine.
Yeah.
You know, that is the medicine. Be the medicine.
Yes. Yeah, be the medicine.
And let us know.
Yeah, let us know. We're always open. If you guys had questions, or if you have new questions for us, you can always send them to me on Instagram at getmimifit is the best way to do that. And we're taking them all the time. So.
And if you're doing weird things like I do, like staring at your lover's eyes, let us know. I want to try it out.
Yeah. Okay. I hope you guys have an amazing day. Go spread some light. Have a beautiful week. Bye. If y'all got any value out of this episode, I invite you to push that little arrow button and physically spread some light by sending it to someone that you know and love in your life. Your mom, your sister, your cousin, your best friend, your spouse, whoever. We appreciate you. Thanks for spending some time with us. We'll see you next time on The Medicine.